Heavenly Father, we just come to you now, Lord. We pray for Pastor Bill. Lord, we put him in your hands, and we ask that you just give him time to rest upon you. Lord, this is a day of resurrection, a day that we remember your son being raised up from the dead for us to have a way to come to you. And we thank you for that. So, Lord, we ask that you empty this vessel of himself, and Lord, that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit to be able to actually just bring forth your words that will not only touch our hearts, but change our lives. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can turn with me to Luke chapter 24. And I'll be reading all the way from verse 1 to verse 8. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' Then they remember his words. And they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest." The meaning of the rise or risen life. New inward power. In Romans 8:11, it says, "But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life for your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you will put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as were led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, then we may also be glorified together." Did you see the things that are in this words? In the beginning, it said he dwells. It says he dwells in you. Then he'll give you life. And he goes on from there and says, "We become debtors, not to the flesh, not to this world, but to Christ." And he goes on from there and says, "The spirit that lives in you." And he says, he's the one. But he also says that the spirit is not a bondage against for fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, that we can cry out, "Abba, Father." And the spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So if there's any question within your heart, if you belong to the Lord, listen to exactly what God is saying through his word. These very words should actually pierce your heart. Should be able to soften the ground that's fallow and hard. To be able to actually lead you that much closer to the one that we just read about, that he's not dead. He's alive. And one day, we're going to see him face to face. And that should put a smile on everybody's heart. Because his word is true. The next part is that Christ's likeness. It says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus who may be manifested in our body, for we who live always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, and also we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, many cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We're all dying. Okay? But the sad part is that some that don't know Christ are dying, and they'll be separated from Christ forever. And if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, then consider exactly what this is saying. You know, say that the death that actually we're facing, that this body is going to die, but yet God is saying, hey, we're going to live. We're going to be able to actually be with the Lord, to be able to actually enjoy the time with him, and be able to actually just meet him face to face. And whatever questions you might have in your heart about him, he will answer. He said, for our light afflictions, but which are for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what we need to look forward to. And that's what he did when he said, you destroy this tomb, this temple, I will raise it up in 3 days. He was talking about himself. And he did. And because he did that, I want you to consider this. I want you to really understand in your heart that because he did that, you have the opportunity to live if you came to him, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, and if he's your Lord and Savior. If you haven't ever given your life to Christ, then today is the day of salvation, is what God is saying. And if you're struggling in your walk and you probably are wondering, where is this God? Where is this Jesus? The Lord says he lives inside you. The question is who moved? Anytime the Lord wants to get my attention, that's what he'll ask me. I said, okay, Lord, draw me back, you know, help me out. The other part of the meaning of the risen life is the devotion to a new master. And he died for all. that all those who live shall live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we now know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their transgressions to them, and has committed us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. There's some promises in here that we need to really look at. One, we're ambassadors of Christ. Two, he has reconciled us. Through whom? Through Jesus. And we're not supposed to be living a life for ourselves. We are now supposed to be living a life for him. And the challenge is, when are you going to let go of yourself completely, totally to God, who loves you, and allow him to live his life through you, that you can actually be a witness to a dying world? See, this day of resurrection should mean a lot more than what we think. What God thought was in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave up his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He did not come, he did not send his Son to condemn the world, but he came to save it. And that's what we need to understand. As Christians, we need to be overjoyed knowing that he's risen. He is alive. He's not dead. And yet the world counts him as that, because the world will look at this day as celebrating it with Easter bunnies that are made out of chocolate, little baskets with fake grass, little chickens that are yellow, okay, and eggs that are colored in different colors. But for us as Christians, it means that we have that opportunity to come to Christ. And if we have, then you've been raised with him. And even though we go through some light sufferings here on this earth, Christ is saying, you know what? One day we're going to talk face to face. Look to that point, that one day you're going to come home. And that should be the encouragement that every Christian should hold on to, knowing where you're going. It should be a heavenly ambition. Ambition meaning a strong desire to do or to achieve something, typically requiring determination and hard work. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. This isn't ours. We're just passing through. And what Christ is saying here is, have a determination. Just as much as you work so hard to earn money to be able to put groceries on the table, just as much as you put so much effort to be able to have an athletic ability to be able to perform any job or any skill, God says, put that same determination into my word. Put that same determination into letting someone else know exactly who lives in you. Work hard to learn more about me. Let my word be able to be planted in the fallow ground of your heart in an area where you have never let me see. But now I'm asking you to open that door for me that I can enter in. And when he does, there's a heavenly affection. It can also refer to a focused mindset such as setting one's affliction upon things above. Set your mind, in Colossians 3:2, it says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. A lot of times our focus is not on Christ, it's not on his word. And if we're honest with the Lord, let him know, as this, you know, Lord, I'm struggling with it. I really want to be able to pick up your word daily and read it. But I got all these other things going on. I know I shared this before, but the only thing I could ask the Lord when I came to Christ, I told him, I said, Lord, I can only give you 15 minutes. Because you know my schedule. So you know what you drew me out of, and you know what job I have. I was in the military, I was in the Navy. And I had to get up early to be able to go to work. I had to be there long before 8 o'clock. So I made a covenant with God. Okay, I'll give you 15 minutes. I'll read a chapter. I'll be praying. Those 15 minutes have turned to hours. That one chapter turned to 5 and 10. And my life has never been the same, but it's been blessed. And that's my encouragement to you, to really realize that the day of resurrection is a day that you can be raised up with Christ and know that he lives in you. That no matter what struggles you're going through, they don't belong to you. Understand that. When I gave my life to Christ, Christ says, I'll take you just the way you are. Okay. What you're getting is a Corinthian, you know, a guy that's going from port to port, doing all the things that sailors do. He said, that's what you're getting. Is that what you want? And the Lord says, yes. Are you willing to come to me for who I am? And in 1981, I said, yes, I am. I'm tired. I'm tired of what I'm doing and how I'm living. And I'm already married. I got 3 little kids. It's not just, I don't know how to handle it. But he took me just the way I am. And now he has me up here. And I look at that and I say, Lord, what what are you doing? You know? He says, don't worry, Rudy. He says, I got this. You just go up there and be a servant to me. The next portion of this is that it's an exaltation to the heavenly places. It said, even when we are dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. Hear that verse. By grace you have been saved. And many people ask me, is it really, you're a servant? I said, no, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's all I am. He said, I don't want no titles. I don't want any awards. I got medals, ribbons at home. They're collecting dust. But this has no dust. This is what matters to me. This is my food in the morning. This is my breakfast time that I have with him. A time I can sit down and invite him to the table and say, okay, Lord, what are we reading today? What do you have for me? What are you trying to show me? This teach me and show me, what is this grace that you talk about, that I'm saved? You know who it is? His name is Jesus. That's the grace. And it's by his name, by him, that you have been saved. So when we partake communion this morning, understand what he had to go through. I did a play in El Cajon called The Road to Resurrection. And the last part that I ever played was a Pharisee. Imagine this guy as a Pharisee. Some of you people can't even hear me when I speak. But they had a microphone so everybody could hear me. But what I learned from that play was this. I learned that the hatred that these people must have had for our Lord was so strong that it drove them to do what they did. And I asked the Lord daily, I said, the same strength that they have for the same way that they hated their son, then teach me how to hate sin in like manner. Teach me how to be able to walk with you in the likeness of your son. Help me to be able to be a witness for you, not for me. Help me not to draw any attention to myself. Help me to draw it toward you. Teach me how to walk. And then, Lord, teach me how to jog. And then from there, Lord, teach me how to run. And the reason I bring that up, I used to be a runner. I enjoyed it. That was my favorite time. Others might have other things, like wrestling, boxing. Mine was running 20 miles a day. But I enjoyed it. So I understand exactly what it means to be able to run the race, as Paul talks about. He said, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. Okay? See, none of this morning has to do with us. All of it has to do with Christ. Everything that he did, he chose from the beginning, before the foundations of the earth, he knew he had to go to the cross. And he chose to do that for me and you. And I want you that to hit your heart in a way that it says, wow. It says, before I was even born, he chose to do that for me. And let it sink into your heart. That whenever you have a doubt, whenever something comes up that's actually going to disturb your walk with Christ, understand, before the foundations were formed, he chose to go to the cross for me and you. Now, who else would do that? There are people that will actually give their lives to save others in certain circumstances. But yet, here we have God's Son saying to his Father, coming with agreement with God's Holy Spirit altogether, saying, you know, these guys can't make it without us. So, why don't I just go down there, become like them? And if you can hear the conversation between his Son, Jesus, and God the Father, it might have gone like that. Well, son, it says the only one way you're going to be able to actually save man is if you go down there and actually become like him. He said, but I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen here. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to spit on you. They're going to hate you. They're going to want to kill you. And yet, God's Son is sitting right there beside him saying, let's do it. He says, you know what's going to happen. And that's exactly what happened. His disciples deserted him. The people hated him. They yelled Hosanna one time. They said, hey, praise the Lord. One day, and then the next day, they're saying, crucify him. The same day, in that way, turning from Hosanna to crucify him. In the play, in the Road to Resurrection, there was a part. And imagine yourself being in the crowd. And I'm dressed up as a Pharisee, and one of the lines was, crucify him. But with the intention of really understanding that that's exactly what we needed to do, is to draw the crowd in. And we have about three of us just standing there. It says, crucify him. And I found myself saying, Lord, I can't say that. But the Lord says, you can do it. It's only a play. But if you don't say it, it's not going to touch their hearts to realize what they're doing. So I did. And that's why this morning should be not only a day of resurrection, but a day of renewing of life. A time of understanding that you're not alone. And the reason that he died on the cross was for me and you. And for this dying world. And yet, People refuse to come. They refuse to hear. And how sad it is that some of them will be separated from him. But the joyful point of this message, as much as it is that it's true, that he did die, they did bury him, and on the third day he rose. He is risen. And because of that, we can rise up as his children to pick up his word and read it daily and allow his word to be able to change your life in such a way that he can come and ask you, go talk to this person. You do that job just for me. You know, we have a pastor that is that compassion. I hadn't seen this type of compassion for a long time. He does anything for anyone. He goes to different places where some of you have not been. But he does it with such a joy. And that is because he loves his Lord. He's an example to each one of us. You know, to me it's hard to write down notes. I'm a bad speller to begin with. And I wonder, how am I going to get all these scriptures? I mean, he's going like a machine gun, you know, just rapid fire here. And the Lord says, don't worry, Rudy. He says, I'll give you the verses that you need for your life. I'll show you which ones they are, and I'll bring them to your remembrance to you. So, you know, when he's actually coming here, he's excited. I mean, he's spirit-filled, and he's just overjoyed, and I am glad to be under his leadership. Right now, our shepherd is sick. And that's why you have me instead of him. But I am grateful and I am thankful that God will use anyone to be able to actually, even this sinner, to bring a message to you, to encourage you. Don't give up. Go home and celebrate Resurrection Day and invite the Lord Jesus to your table. And at the same time, lift up a prayer for the shepherd and his family. Kim will be coming up here to actually lead us in time of communion. Don't look at the elements, just the cracker and the juice. I want you to consider this. Look at the table. Look at the crown of thorns put on his head. See a hammer and nails. A cat of nine tails. On top of that. Understand the suffering that he went through for each one of us, because the Lord said he made him sin for us, that our sins can be forgiven. And you know, I believe that he did it with great joy and a lot of love. So as we partake of communion this morning, the ushers will be coming up after Kim starts with a song. I'll be leaving here and going and sitting down. And then as you hold the cracker and juice, just hold it on until everybody has got them. and sit quietly. And if there's anything in your heart that you need to repent of, if there's anything that you need to tell the Lord, then you tell Him quietly in your heart before partaking. Let me pray. Lord, we thank You for this day of resurrection. I do pray for Pastor Bill, Lord. I pray that You restore him. You are the great physician in heaven, Lord, and You can heal anyone. And I know that is true because You've done it in my family. So I pray, Lord, You be with Patty and the rest of the family as they, and each one of these brothers and sisters here, Lord, if they go home and celebrate the day of resurrection, go to each house, Lord, and watch exactly the very things that You have been placed upon them. But Lord, I pray that You strengthen them and You would help them to walk strongly with You. And that, Lord, as we remember what Your Son has done, we will never forget why He did it. Because every day that we look in the mirror, Lord, we will see a reflection of Your Son Jesus, who died for a sinner such as us. And I pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.